verses 1 through 6. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Thank you, Bruce, for leading us in those songs. If you didn't know it, that is Bruce's favorite song, and that is a good song. Thanks for sharing that with us this morning. Someone came up to me before second service with sort of a perplexed look on their face and asked, now, you and Bryce aren't both preaching this morning, are you? And I said, well, no, but in the bulletin, it might look that way. So Bryce is preaching tonight, though. So come back and hear him tonight. So I get the 45-minute slot this morning. Is that right? All right. No, that's not quite right. We will get through. But let's begin here at John and go ahead and open up. Really, the first passage that we'll look at here, I believe, comes from about chapter 6. This morning, we're going to go through, and you've probably heard these before, but you may have never heard them combined into one lesson or looked at them in chronological order as you go through the book of John. But as we conclude our study of John this morning, and we have spent the last several weeks, in fact, we started the first part of January, the first of this year, looking at John, and John is one of those books that can get kind of extensive if you try to look at everything. We've looked at some of the different stories, the different pericopes that are shared within the book and the things that John is trying to bring forth. We've looked at some of the ways that John is similar to the other Gospels, the Synoptics, and some of the ways that maybe it's a little bit different, or some of the ways that he contrasts the other three Gospels. Alan Culpepper, who has devoted a great amount of time to the study of John and written several books, I want to read just one paragraph from an excerpt of his book. It says, each of the four Gospels present a different portrait of Jesus, and consequently, each has a different interpretation of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Part of the challenge of studying the Gospel of John comes from learning to read it apart from the influence of the other Gospels and the stories that typically condition the way we are accustomed to thinking about Jesus. John has its own understanding of Jesus, so to be a careful reader of the Gospel, you'll have to work to read it without interference from the other Gospels. And he kind of points out that John is different. And as you've read through the Gospels, you realize that. You've understood that. John brings forth some things that the others do not, and likewise, the others may be some that John doesn't touch on. Matthew, if you look at his gospel, basically he introduces Jesus by relating him to the lineage of Abraham and David, and the teaching of Jesus continues throughout the book. In fact, for Matthew, being a disciple of Jesus means keeping his teaching, and that's what he focuses on, the teachings of Jesus. If you go to Mark, Mark's an interesting book. If you've ever had time to sort of look at it and break it down and dissect the book, Mark is a very symmetrical book, I believe 16 chapters, and you can basically break the book right in half, because the first part, Jesus is not encouraging any of those that he helps or heals or anything to tell who he is. You may have heard of the messianic secret, or that part of the Jesus' life that he didn't say, go out and tell who I am, or go out and tell who has done this for you. The second part of the book, he does that. You know, the timing is right. He says, go out and tell others about me. But Mark's an interesting book. Luke, probably to many, offers maybe the most attractive portrait of Jesus. And that's simply because he brings forth the compassion that Jesus had on the poor, on women, on Samaritans, tax collectors, and basically outcasts of all sorts. Luke portrays Jesus as sort of a social reformer. And following him means that you would have to challenge the social barriers that were there at that day and time. So Luke offers a good portrait of Jesus. But then John. John brings forth Jesus as the Son of God. Brings forth Jesus as the revealer, sent from above to reveal the Father. That's what I want to look at this morning, the seven I Am statements. You may have heard of those, and we probably touched on them in some as we went through the different chapters, but as we wrapped up this morning, I think it would be good to just go back and touch on those once again and just see really what John is trying to say in the words that Jesus is using. It's interesting, our LTC theme for next year is the book of John. This past year it was 1 Samuel, just about a month ago. A lot of our kids know 1 Samuel much better than they did before, and they try to alternate back and forth. They'll go an Old Testament book, then a New Testament. So next year they've chosen the book of John as the focus study for the Bible Bowl and sort of the theme for the weekend. But as they conclude each weekend, they always give you the next week's or the next year's material and sort of give you some ways to remember that. And as the closing ceremonies were going on this past year, they were flashing up on the screen. You know, John would be the theme. And then the gentleman, I believe, he said, "I'm going to give you three words or something to remember John." And I was all excited because I'd just been through a study of the Gospel of John in one of my classes in Memphis. In fact, I looked over at Carrie and I said, "I think I can actually get these three words." Took me all week to get them, maybe, but you can remember John by three words. And if you don't get anything else, think about this morning. Light, life, and Word. As we've gone through John, that's what's been revealed. That is what has been brought forth. Light, life, and Word. And some of those are brought forth in the I Am statements, and we'll look at that in just a few moments. But the I Ams appear only here in John, who emphasizes Jesus' deity. They appear here basically in the last few months. John is maybe written in a more concise time frame of Jesus' ministry than some of the other Gospels, and basically focusing on the deity of Jesus. God in the form of Jesus. I Am. You know, it's interesting, there are seven of these I Am statements that we'll look at this morning, and these are sort of broken apart from the others because they're followed with a predicate. And these way to, you know, describe Jesus as I Am, and the folks that he was talking to at that time understood what he was talking about, what he was saying. We'll kind of look at the context as we go through. Seven is a number that the Bible mentions numerous times, different categories, groupings of seven. But seven has also been given the number of completion or perfection. So there's seven of the I Am statements that are listed in John. And then one also that we'll look that sort of stands alone in chapter 18, I believe it is. We'll get to the at the end of our thoughts this morning. But let's start there in John chapter 6. I want to just go through these. I won't mention spend much time on any of them this morning because we've looked at them previously. But I thought it would be good to go back and look at them as a whole this morning. Here in John chapter 6 in verse 35, we have the first one. And I would encourage you to follow along as we read this morning. "Then Jesus declared, 'I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty.'" What is the context here? What's going on? Jesus had just fed the multitudes. The disciples that he's speaking to here had seen the miraculous feeding of the 5,000. The loaves and the fishes. And we looked at that story. You know that story. You've been taught that story from such a young age. Yet Jesus takes it a step further. And he shares with his disciples, "He who comes to me will never go hungry." Think of that. The 5,000 ate till they were probably just stuffed, couldn't eat another bite. Yet 4 or 5 hours later, as we know always happens, they were probably hungry again. Ready to eat again, ready for that next meal. We don't know where that meal came from, do we? We're not really told much about that. We know the one instance that Jesus fed them. But Jesus goes to the disciples and is explaining this, and he says, "I'm the bread of life. It's through me that you'll receive eternal fulfillment. It's through me that you'll receive eternal life, eternal satisfaction." He may have even mentioned something about how God took care of the Israelites as he fed them in the wilderness with the manna. We don't know what all was discussed here. That is an example where he took care of another physical need. He said, "I'm the bread of life." Took it a step further. Go over to chapter 8. Excuse me. Chapter 8, and it's verse 12 where he has the second of these seven statements. "When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, 'I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.'" Two of the words, two of the three that we mentioned earlier are found right there. The light of life. You know, John places this, and we looked at this story a few weeks back. about the adulterous woman and what was happening here. John is the only place that that particular story was recorded. So there's a little bit of controversy as to exactly where this took place. But John places it here, and I think it fits well here because that was such a dark thing. Such a terrible thing that was happening because those that were there ready to kill this woman were looking in directions Jesus was not looking. It was a dark situation. And you remember what Jesus said? Let he who is without sin cast the first stone. And we really looked at that when we went over that story. Jesus gives illumination to those in darkness. And that's exactly what he says here in verse 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4 says, "And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." That's exactly what John's saying throughout his book. The image of God. Showing us God through Jesus. Revealing God to us through Jesus, who came, walked among men, died on this earth. The light of the world. Flip over to chapter 10. Chapter 10. There's actually a couple recorded within this particular chapter. But the first one is there in verse 9. Jesus speaking here says, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture." Some versions may say the door. I am the door, or I am the gate. Jesus is saying, I'm the way. Well, we'll look at that in just a minute. But I am the entrance. It's through me that you can find salvation. Here the background is that the Jews rejected Jesus in many of his teachings. And you see this throughout the Gospels and even here in John as well. And they had attempted to kill him and stone him at different occasions. And that's the very thing that's going on here. But Jesus says, I'm exclusively the way to heaven. I'm the gate. You know, we read about the different passages, the narrow way, the broad way. And we read of that in Matthew, the one leading to eternal life, the one to eternal destruction. Jesus said, I'm the gate. It's through me that you can have this eternal life. That you can receive this light. All of these tying hand in hand. Chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. If you hold on to my teachings, you are really my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You've heard that. You can fill in those blanks. You know, I saw a bumper sticker just this, well, it was actually yesterday, and I had never noticed one just exactly like this. You may have, but it had a picture of an open Bible, and it said, "Read the red." And as we've been going through here, if you have a red letter edition, you notice these words that we've been looking at were words of Jesus. Read the red. Are you in tune with the red this morning? Are you in tune with what Jesus is saying? Hey, I'm the light, I'm the gate, I'm the life. I can do all of this. Yet you fail to realize that. You fail to see that sometimes. Is he saying, that's us, just the same? On down in chapter 10 and verse 11, he uses another I am statement. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. These folks knew what shepherding was all about. These folks knew what flocks of sheep. We don't have that in this part of the country anyway. We put up fences. That's how we keep things in. That's how we keep our livestock or our animals or whatever. In that day and age, the most important thing to those sheep or that group of sheep that would protect them was that shepherd. Jesus explained that. I am the good shepherd. He even contrasts himself to the robbers, the thieves, and the hirelings there in that reading. And in fact, in verse 15, he says, I lay down my life for the sheep. Verses 27 and 28 of that very same chapter. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. Then he goes on in verse 29. No one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. He gives a guarantee, a security there, if you will. I am the good shepherd. Chapter 11. Another one that we wanted to look at is in verse 25. You all know this story. The story of Lazarus and the sisters Mary and Martha. And of course, Lazarus has just passed. And the sisters are grieving, are of course very state of sorrow because of their brother. The background here, Mary and Martha, they may even be a little bit irritated that Jesus didn't heal their brother. But notice what he says here in verse 25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? In question there on verse 26, do you believe this? He says, I'm the resurrection and the life. This death here means nothing. I've overcome this death. I will overcome this death. This means absolutely nothing. I can give you life beyond this life here. And then he asks that pointed question, do you believe this? That's the same question that's asked of us today. We might all sit here this morning and say, you bet I believe that. You bet I believe that from the bottom of my heart. What are we doing? Does it stop there? Do we say, I believe, but then we leave and the rest of our life reflects none of that belief? I am the resurrection and the life. Now back to our text this morning, John 14. This is the sixth of these seven, just going in chronological order. And I'll just touch on this because I want to go back in just a minute and go just a little bit further. But this is probably one of the better known passages here in John, verses 1 through 6. This is read at funeral services. This is read when someone is hurting, when they're just needing some comfort. These are words of comfort. In fact, your heading may say Jesus comforts His disciples. But there in verse 6, He says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The way, the truth, and the life mentions three different things there. And then on over to chapter 15 and verse 1. Chapter 15 and verse 1 is the seventh of these I am sayings. I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. And you think about this setting. This is very close to the end for Jesus. Nearing the last few hours when they've met together in the upper room for the supper that they've come together to be in fellowship with one another. And he's speaking to them. And here in John, there's several things that the other Gospels do not go into that is shared here in this very intimate time. But he says, I'm the true vine. My Father's the gardener. He says, you've got to go on. You've got to keep on. You've got to produce fruit. We read that in other parts of the Scripture as well. You are in me and I am in you. Taken from chapter 14 and verse 20. Let's back up though to chapter 14. Just a few concluding comments. I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, sometimes I think we give Thomas here a bad rap. We call him Doubting Thomas. But I like it because there was communication going on. He was asking some questions. If you're here this morning and you have questions, please ask. If you're here this morning and you have some questions about the way, the truth, and the life that we're talking about this morning, please ask. Jesus goes on then and explains, I am the way. He didn't say, I know the way. That's all I can say this morning. I know the way. That's what Scripture tells me. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. You know, when we think about those, the way, the truth, Psalms chapter 1 and verse 6 says, the Lord knows the ways of the righteous. Psalm 37 and verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. And then Proverbs 16 and verse 25, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. The truth, John chapter 1 and verse 17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. We're going to look at grace about a two-month series that we'll be looking at on Sunday morning starting next Sunday. It's a big part of it. We're going to share that with you as well. Law was given by Moses, but grace and truth by Jesus Christ. And then you think about life. When you think about life, what do you think about? We all want to live, don't we? We will do whatever it takes. We will go to the utmost to continue our life here on this earth. Because that's what separates us from this podium or a piece of wood or a rock or whatever. We have life. We can breathe. There's some stuff going on inside here. And we'll fight and do whatever it takes to keep this physical life going. Yet sometimes that's as far as we go. Sometimes that's as much preparation as we make. And Jesus said, hey, it's bigger than that. I'm the bread of life. I'm the light. I'm the resurrection. I'm the way, the truth, the life. Through me. You know, this idea of life and how it just sort of fascinates me, because all living creatures fight for life, don't they? All living creatures. If you've ever had a pet or something that was sick, and they would just fight and fight and fight. And then, you know, we would want that life to continue. I've got a story that I shared with the first service. I always have pig stories. That's raised pigs, so we sort of know what's going on there a little bit, not much. But this past January, I had an old sow lay down and give birth to 18 pigs. Now, if you've ever raised pigs before, you know that's a full litter. That's about 12 or 6 too many. 12 would be good. But anyway, this old sow had laid down and just was giving birth. I didn't know when she was finished. She didn't ever say anything. So I stayed down there with her and just kept on, you know, one right after another. Well, she'd had two or three that were stillborn, and that's not uncommon in a litter that size either. I had to run to the house for something and went back down, and there was another one laying there, lifeless. And I thought, well, this is another stillborn pig, and just go ahead and put it over here with the others that I had started a little pile. I won't even get into those details. But this lifeless pig was just laying there. Picked it up, sort of, cleaned its nose out and looked at it and thought, man, is this pig gonna do anything? Well, it wasn't doing a thing. All of a sudden, the front little leg had a little twitch. Just one little bitty twitch, and that was it. So I thought, well, there's something there. I didn't know if it was just the muscles twitching or what. So I wiped its nose a little bit more and just really cleaned out and started kind of rubbing it to see if I could get it going. And all of a sudden, I heard, just sounded like just a gasp of air. And then just a few seconds later, another. And finally, that little pig was kicking around. And, this was the pig that I was about to put over with the others from that one little twitch. A week later, she rolled over and smashed the little thing, and it died anyway. But that's a whole other story for another time. But the thing about it is the life that little pig, he struggled to go. And he wanted to live. And that's the way we are as human beings. That's the way we are as living organisms. We want to live. We want to continue. We want to go on. And yet Jesus says there's so much more here. There's so much more that I can offer. There's so much more that you need, so much more that you just aren't even scratching the surface, so to speak. And let's finish with chapter 18. Here's one more I am that I want to look at, because this one's a little bit different. And he doesn't follow this up with a predicate. He doesn't follow this up with something explaining what he is. If we'll go here to chapter 18, and I want to begin at verse 4, read down through verse 6. Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen to him, went out and asked them, "Who is it you want?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "I am he," Jesus said. And Judas the traitor was standing there with them. When Jesus said, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Something interesting going on here. Lots of commentaries will try to explain exactly what's happening. But those who were about to arrest Jesus came up and said, "Who are you looking for?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Those three words, "I am He." And those that were there, they knew something was different. Something about this man. As the New International Version reads, it says, they drew back and fell to the ground. But he made that statement, the final statement, "That's me. That's who I am. I've come to this earth to bring life, to bring light, to bring resurrection, to bring the truth. That's what I'm all about." And that's what John points out through his entire book, the deity of Jesus here on earth. God here on earth, a God who wants to save us, a God who wants us to come to Him, a God who wants us to have eternal life, life everlasting. We fight for the physical. Let's make sure we're ready for what's really important. If you're subject to the invitation, won't you come as we stand and sing?